If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warmer brotherly hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas, from coast to coast east, with myself, Greg H. Peterson, now part of the Houston Family Podcast, and we do have a great podcast for you. In the second segment, we are going to be joined by Andy Dekoff. He is one of the hardworking gentlemen over there at HXCBB. We're going to be diving into a wide variety of topics with them, how the West Coast mid-majors have been doing a better job than the Pac-12 itself of being able to bring in guys via the transfer portal. We're going to be diving into just some teams in general that he's been impressed with regards to what they've been able to do in the transfer portal as well. So we're going to have a great chat there, and it's going to be a two-segment podcast because we got just literally nobody that wanted transferring in college basketball on Saturday. We haven't seen a lot of news and notes. I'll be getting a little bit more on the ACC Big Ten Challenge on the podcast tomorrow, but we aren't going to be able to handicap those games because, well, those games are going to be going on in November. You're going to have a couple games beforehand. If you wind up having a guy go down and get hurt, well, that would really throw off your handicap there. So I'm going to take a little bit of time to be able to dissect that because, well, trying to give you guys point spreads in November that are going to inevitably change, that would be a little bit of a defeatist sort of thing. So we're going to be hitting that on the podcast either tomorrow or in the next 48 hours. And here in the first segment, I actually wound up getting a question that I would like to address. So we're going to be diving into that in a minute. And if there is anything that you would ever like me to dive into on the podcast, if you got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to further those in. First one is by Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters CM. Name does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Now, let's dive into the Twitter mailbag.
So you have questions, and Greg may or may not have any insight into them, but let's dive into the Twitter mailbag.
I wound up getting asked, with college basketball, how much change is there this year with a few teams going from the D2 level up to the D1 level, and then conference realignment? And for one, I will throw this in here right now. We are going to be seeing a lot more change next season when you wind up seeing like Houston wind up going to the Big 12. The schools from the Big 12 in Texas and Oklahoma wind up going to the SEC. That is going to be absolutely seismic. So on a scale of 1 to 10, I will consider next year's realignment a 10 for college basketball just because it does involve more major programs. But in terms of overall programs, we're actually seeing more adjusted this season. I would consider on the scale of 1 to 10, if that next season's realignment is a 10, this year's I would say is a 7. Like Loyola Chicago going from the Missouri Valley Conference over to the Atlantic 10, that's pretty big as the Missouri Valley Conference, they're also going to be bringing in Belmont and I believe Murray State as well. So that is going to be relatively big with regards to mid-majors. And we are seeing some of these mid-majors that they would be able to compete for NCAA tournament bids switching places as well out there in the Atlantic Sun. Jacksonville State, they are no longer in the Atlantic Sun as they wind up being the NCAA tournament representative, even though they did not win the regular season title, nor the postseason title, as Bellarmine wound up doing that. And if you're wanting something archaic, the fact that these schools have to wait like 3 to 4 years before they're eligible for the NCAA tournament coming up from the D2 level, that's really dumb, but that's a discussion for another day. But I do think that it is rather large with some of these conferences. Like, I've already done my conference preview of the America East. Bryant being out there against Vermont is big because there was no team within a country mile of Vermont last season. They wound up losing a game in conference, but they really ran away with that title. Now I think that Bryant and Vermont are a very close 1A and 1B, and I actually, You heard this from me, like Bryant to be able to win that conference, so that's something big. I talked about Belmont going to the Missouri Valley Conference. You wind up losing Loyola Chicago, but you bring in those two schools, that's relatively big for them. The D2 schools, I mean, from a betting perspective, it gives us something more to be able to handicap, and a lot of these schools that they go from the D2 level to the D1 level, and in the case of St. Thomas last year, D3 to D1, I feel like you're able to make some relatively solid money on them, because whenever you see a transitionary school, typically people just love to be able to underrate them. They think, oh, we haven't seen them before, so they can't be any good. And a lot of them are, although I will say Lindenwood last year was actually sub-500 at the D2 level. Now that they're going up to the D1 level, I don't necessarily have high expectations for them, but we'll be diving into that when I wind up doing their conference preview. That'll be a lot of fun, by the way. I'm actually looking forward to diving into some of those. Like, we've already previewed Queens NC, who winds going into the Atlantic Sun, so we got a few more of those coming. But I do think that in terms of realignment, all that we're seeing, especially with some of these conferences like the Sun Belt Conference USA, I'm going to be doing my Colonial Conference preview relatively soon. There is quite a bit there. It just involves a lot of teams that we're going to call what it is. They aren't necessarily going to be eligible for the NCAA tournament, unlike next season. It makes a big, giant difference when it comes to a lot of these mid-major conferences and when it comes to handicapping as well. You now have more unfamiliar matchups, which I think that you're either able to make that very profitable or very not profitable in general, because if you're a little bit more of a trend player, well, you don't have anything to necessarily go off of. And we've seen a lot of teams that they wind up transitioning to a new conference. It goes either really, really good or really, really bad for them. Like Merrimack a few seasons ago, when they went from the D2 level to the D1 level, they wound up actually winning the NEC regular season title. And then you saw with Robert Morris, ever since they wound up going from the NEC to the Horizon League, it's been just a dumpster fire for them. So it feels like there's a lot of volatility with this. And I do think that it is pretty big, the change that we've got this season, but it's not necessarily going to be as big as next year's, just because you've got like actual title contenders like a Houston that are going to be switching conferences. Obviously, Texas being in the SEC, that's going to be big. So next 2 years of realignment are very, very big. This one is pretty solid, but more on a mid-major scale. And hey, there's money to be made, whether you're betting on the SEC, whether you're betting on the Big 12, the Big 10, or if you're betting on the Atlantic Sun and something like a Stone Hill College, who's now up at the D1 level. So it's always nice to be able to take a look at that. So hopefully that wound up answering your question. Now we're going to be diving into what we've been seeing with regards to the transfer portal, with regards to some of these mid-majors out west, and they've been doing a good job. The Pac-12 has been doing a bad job, and just diving into, in general, what we're seeing in college basketball right now with our good friend Andy Dekoff. He did a great job with his transfer portal ranking, so we're going to dive into a few schools that he thinks have done a relatively solid job in terms of bringing in some good talent next, right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Spearson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Las Vegas for Kelsey Kev with myself, Greg Epstein, and now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. Great to get on this guest as he does a great job out there in the state of Oregon, holding it down, taking a look at a little bit of everything over there with the Portland Tribune along with Madras Pioneer. But on top of that, he does some great work over there at Heat Check CBB. He did a great job with his transfer portal rankings this offseason, and now it's getting set for what I'm sure is going to be an absolutely amazing season as he and everyone else over there at Heat Check CBB do amazing work. And to be able to follow this man, Andy Dekoff, on Twitter, and is that his name? Andrew Dekoff, last name is spelled D-I-E-C-K-H-O-F-F. And Andy, it is great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Greg.
It is great to have you aboard. And Andy, when you want to take a look at just the transfer rankings in general and the teams that wanted coming out the best, who, in your opinion, wound up getting in a bunch of guys that you wound up having rated very highly that you might think might be going a little bit under the radar, since I know that you wound up doing a great job with regards to your transfer portal rankings, darn near everyone aside from the one man in Amani Bates now off the board. But what are a few teams that you just take a look at and you think they did really well in this process?
Well, I mean, I don't know that you can really call this under the radar at all. A team like Miami coming out and snagging two of the, you know, arguably top 10, maybe top 15 transfers in Norchad Omier and Nigel Pack, that was huge. For a kind of middle of the pack ACC program, speaking a little bit more than just last year, but just for the last few years. They haven't really gone to the basement, but they haven't really gone to the top either. So having Miami kind of making a statement and a move there to grab two highly rated people is pretty huge. On the other hand, like I said, you can't really call it under the radar because John Ruiz was so out front and open and everything and getting, you know, and exactly how much some of these guys were getting. So I thought that was interesting, you know, the brave new world of college transfers. But, you know, Miami, I think, is a team that made a huge splash early. I think some of the negative press that came along with the Isaiah Wong story of, you know, the whole kind of pay me more NIL or I'm leaving or whatever it really was, because it sounds like the agent kind of maybe mistranslated for Isaiah there. Some of the sentiment around Miami kind of turned a little negative at that point. But at the end of the day, Miami still brought in two really talented players to go along with a pretty talented team that, you know, coming back with a star player like Wong. So I think that maybe they have kind of turned a little underrated because so much of attention is going to the NIL money stuff and not to these two huge talents that they just brought to the court. Another team that brought in, you know, two players from near the top of this list, Illinois, with some good movement here. Matthew Mayer, I think that was a really good piece that I think just about any team in America could use. But for Illinois, I think especially, you lose Kofi Coburn. You're kind of searching for some more identity, some more veteran presence on the roster there. You've got a lot of promising talent, but not everybody has seen that much of the floor. I think bringing in a guy like Mayer, as well as Terrence Shannon Jr. from Texas Tech, those are both huge additions to come into Illinois and crucially to not have them go to any other Big Ten competitors too.
Yeah, the Big Ten, I felt like, didn't wind up doing the best job with regards to the transfer portal, but that is certainly not the case with Illinois, who I thought that they did a great job of bringing in Matthew Mayer. Now, obviously losing Kofi Coburn, that's going to be hurting them a little bit, but I do think that this is an Illinois team that, with Brad Underwood, who has been a very malleable coach, in my opinion, someone who wound up running a little bit more of a full court press, trying to get a bunch of steals early on in his Illinois tenure. When Kofi Coburn came in, slowed it down, ran things more through him. He's going to be very willing to adapt to the roster around him, and I do think that we're going to see Illinois be able to fire on all cylinders. As you're going to be on the podcast, we do have Andy Dekoff. And what else I find to be very interesting is that I talk about the Big Ten and the fact that they didn't wind up making a lot of transfer portal moves. I think that you're able to say the same for the Pac-12. Now, I will give one school some credit. Arizona State, one out there, they wound up making some moves. I thought that they did a good job and they needed to, because flies here for Bobby Hurley, not necessarily so terrific. You bring in the Cambridge brothers, you bring in Frankie Collins, Warren Washington. No doubt, that's a good transfer portal class. And Oregon, I was expecting maybe a little bit more on them, especially with the fact that they do wind up losing Eric Williams Jr. and Davion Harmon, but they did wind up bringing in someone like a Jermaine Cousinard, who I think is going to be able to help out the team. They did a good job of just being able to revamp things in general with Keyshawn Bartholomew coming in as well, relatively solid recruiting class as well. But taking a look at the Pac-12, I expected more moves to be made by these teams, and I think that it's going to be a little bit disappointing for this conference, especially with the bottom once again feeling like it's very weak.
Yeah, I mean, there have been some late moves that have come in that have, you know, been a little nice. Arizona's done a couple things lately that have, I think, helped answer some of the question marks around their roster. You know, getting Courtney Ramey out from Texas, getting Cedric Henderson Jr. from Campbell. He's going to be a good guy on the wing for them, I think. But yeah, I agree with you that it's kind of been a little lackluster in the transfer portal for the whole conference, kind of. Even some of these guys, I mean, Keyshawn Bartholomew, that's an in-conference transfer. Oregon might get better, but Colorado gets a little worse losing him. I do like, you know, Jalen Gabadon going to Colorado. I think that's a good one. There are question marks around a lot of the teams here. And you mentioned the bottom. It's hard for me to not, you know, look towards my own hometown team of Oregon State. They've been playing around in the portal a little bit, but they're coming back with guys like Christian Wright, who didn't have a great season at Georgia. You get a guy who spent four seasons San Francisco and Jametre Rooney. Are these program changing guys? I'm not really sure. I will say I was a little disappointed with the haul, the transfer portal haul, and really 2 years running for Wayne Tinkle and the Beavers. You know, Wayne Tinkle made a couple good moves, I think, for the staff. Eric Rovino is on the staff at Oregon State now. I think that's huge, but still need the players. They're bringing in some freshmen that might have some promise. I don't think that Oregon State hit the transfer portal all that well. There's still big questions in the backcourt for this team. And, you know, I don't know that necessarily any of the guys that came in are going to be able to answer that question by themselves.
And the good news is I do think that Oregon State is going to win more than three games than they did last year, but I mean, it's really not hard to be able to go up from there, as it was just an absolutely brutal year for them. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Andy Dekoff, does a great job with Heat Check CBB, and I just find it to be so interesting because we talk about the Pac-12, the fact that not a lot of moves were made there, and you take a look at the mid-majors out there on the West Coast, and I've been pleasantly surprised by a lot of them, like San Diego. They're bringing Steve Lavin, and I had some big question marks when it came to that hire, but he's brought in Jaden Dallaire. He's brought in Sekou Shishu-Chuwara, a little bit of a late add, 12-point-per-game guy from Weber State. Mm. Eric Williams Jr. is someone that averaged 10 points per game two seasons ago at Oregon. Nick Lynch is someone who's 6'11" from Lehigh that's able to pop threes. Very encouraged there. San Francisco had to go through losing Todd Golden, but they bring in Tony Roketch. He does a solid job coming in from UC San Diego. Marcus Williams. You're even able to bring in Tyrell Ghost Roberts from the Pac-12. And it feels like we've seen a situation where these mid-majors have actually poached from the Pac-12. Look no further than Andre Kelly going from Cal over to UC Santa Barbara. And all of a sudden, these mid-majors out there on the West Coast, they've done a good job in the Pac-12. They haven't been able to attract a lot of talent.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll give you another example. It's not exactly the West Coast, but Wyoming, they got Jake Kiman off of UCLA and then Max Agbonpolo and Ethan Anderson out of USC. So those are players that are going to make a huge impact. And these are players who could have made a huge impact potentially in the Pac-12 too. It's not like these guys were talentless Pac-12 players, you know, end of the bench kind of throw-ins or whatever, like some of the players that you're seeing come into the Pac-12 from other high major conferences. They're not the last guy on the bench. These are guys with real promise who can come in and play and probably could have played in the Pac-12. So it's an interesting situation here. I don't know if it's just the Pac-12's cachet is kind of down, or that teams see that, you know, you can really make some noise and get some publicity by being a really good mid-major these days. I mean, look at the love affair that went along with a lot of these Mountain West teams last year, Colorado State and Wyoming in particular, you know, where you get guys who clearly want to be there, guys who are happy to be there, guys who are feeling like they are just as utilized and featured in the team as, you know, maybe they feel they should be. And they're just having a good time and they're having fun with it. That, I think, could be part of, you know, why some of these players are dropping down from that huge spotlight maybe a little bit, where they can kind of, I don't know, get together with some other guys and just go out there and have some fun and play the game. And, you know, you look at a team like Wyoming, they're going to be dang good. They were going to be good even before they got three Pac-12 transfers, but they have them now. That's going to be a pretty solid team out there. And you look at even like San Diego State. Now, Darian Trammell, he comes from Seattle U. He's not a Pac-12 guy who's getting in here, but that's a guy who probably could have gone to just about any Pac-12 school, and he didn't. He chose to go to San Diego State, though that's not necessarily, you know, a poach or whatever. This is a guy who's in, you know, Washington's backyard, and he doesn't go to Washington. This is a guy who, you know, probably could have had his choice of just about any school up and down the coast, and he chose San Diego State, which, to be fair, San Diego State is one of the top probably five or six programs on the West Coast, but still, it speaks to, I guess, these mid-majors are becoming attractive destinations for a lot of guys for whatever reason.
And I do think that taking a look at the Mountain West as a whole is going to be intriguing as well, because you had the Mountain West just have an absolutely tremendous regular season. Then we all remember what wound up happening during the NCAA tournament. They just could not win a game to save their lives. But you mentioned with San Diego State, you pair up Matt Bradley and Darian Trammell, and all of a sudden you're looking at an offense that could be formidable, and then obviously, the defense is going to be there with them. Losing David Roddy for Colorado State is going to be tough, but you still bring back Isaiah Stevens. You mentioned it with Wyoming. UNLV, talk about teams that have been able to do a good job in the transfer portal. I absolutely love all the talent that is coming in there. The list goes on and on. Boise State wound up losing quite a few guys. I don't think that they're going to be quite where they were last season, but I take a look at the Mountain West as a whole, and I mentioned it with the Pac-12, the fact that the bottom teams, it feels like they're going to be staying at the bottom. The bottom teams out there in the Mountain West in recent years, like your San Jose States, like your New Mexico's, I mean, these programs have been able to get better and better. Air Force, I think, is still going to be in for a rough year, but I think that the Mountain West has done a good job here in the transfer portal. I think that there's going to be people still salty from what we wound up seeing in the NCAA tournament last season, but I still think that it's going to be another good year for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I think you kind of see at the end of March, or, you know, the end of the tournament, I should say, you do get a lot of people who then look at the results and they kind of say, oh, look, you know, these self-fulfilling prophecies. I told you the Mountain West was going to, you know, didn't deserve four bids or whatever because they lost all those games or, you know, whatever. Or I told you Gonzaga wasn't really all that good because they didn't win the national championship or, you know, whatever. But I think those are facile arguments. I don't think that just because, you know, a conference goes 0-4 on the day means that, oh, they were a crap conference and we shouldn't, you know, we all got fooled by them or anything. Those were good teams. They just didn't have a good day. So, yeah, I do think that the conference as a whole is pretty strong. I don't know that it's going to be as strong as it was last year. I really like Wyoming. I like San Diego State probably at the top of this. Wyoming kind of right next to them. Colorado State, I think, should still be in there. But some of these other programs, you know, kind of in the middle there, it's going to be a little bit of a soft middle. I think there's going to be a pretty big drop off. I don't see another four-bid league happening here, but two or three potentially. At this point, if I had to, you know, kind of put a guess on it in, you know, late June, I would have San Diego State and Wyoming as my two teams out of this league. With the potential for Colorado State, I'm not crazy in love with the roster minus David Roddy. However, I really like Nico Medved and the staff that they have over there. Josiah Strong could be a really impactful player. And John Tante is a guy who has been kind of a utility man. He's kind of done a lot of things in the background a little bit for this team. I think Tanjay could be a good breakout player for Colorado State next year as well. You lose a guy like David Roddy, that's a big hit for you because he does so much. He was able to be so versatile. I think that was a really big thing that you just don't get all the time. You're not going to have that kind of guy on every roster. And so, you know, they'll probably take a little bit of a step back, but I still think that they will be one of the more successful teams in the conference there.
Yep, I do think that Colorado State, even without David Roddy, they are going to be able to do some solid things this upcoming season. Now, in terms of players that want to make draft decisions and it wound up hurting the team the most slash helping if he were to stay or go, that was one of the bigger ones. No ifs, ands, or buts about it with what he meant to Colorado State. But I am in agreement with you. And on John Tunjay, very good three-point shooter. So I do think that he's going to be in for a big season. And I know that you guys over there at HeatCheckCBB, you guys are going to be in for a big year as well. I know that you guys are preparing for the upcoming college basketball season. You did a great job, Andy, of taking a look at all of these guys in the transfer portal, giving them rankings. And now I know you're on to a lot of ventures to be able to get prepped for the upcoming season as well. So love to get people at home. Now they're able to follow you on social media and everything they've got going on in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Follow on Twitter at Andrew Diekhoff, DIECKHOFF. That's where you'll see most of my commentary. But, you know, we're going to have work coming out on heatcheckcbb.com all off season long. You know, we're going to have some pretty good preview stuff eventually, too. And I'm really looking forward to getting into this season. It's June right now, but gosh, it's going to be, you know, September and October before we know it. And this college season will be here. So I'm really excited about that. And yeah, so just follow along with me on Twitter and follow along with HeatCheckCBB. I mean, I'm excited for the ride.
I am as well. It's going to be a tremendous college basketball season. Things have finally crystallized with regards to the transfer portal. And Andy and all the other gentlemen over there at HeatCheckCBB, they're going to be going to work. They're going to be doing an absolutely amazing job. And it is always great to be able to get any of those gentlemen on the podcast. And today it was Andy that joined me. So big thanks to him for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Soups, now part of the VSIN family of podcasts. If you do like hearing from the fine podcast, Coast to Coast Soups, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And if you've got a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letter CM, name does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Coming at you guys every single day, looking at the news and notes of college basketball in the offseason, along with conference previews, and then once we get in-season picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I'll chat with you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.